dedication and the pledge of allegiance. Our Father, we give thanks for this day and the blessings of this day. Father, we are mindful today of the Martin Mahan family at Martinville and the tragedy in their family. Father, we ask, bless this meeting for the benefit of Faulkner County. Things that we try to accomplish. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Dear boy, you and I are the only veterans, so we'll miss you. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Present.
Kate.
Here.
Good.
Here.
Higgins.
Here.
Houston.
Here.
Kendricks.
Here.
Lahosky.
Present.
Knight.
Here.
Pearson.
Here.
Pickett.
Here.
Rowland. Shaw. And he answered me on the phone.
All right. Thank y'all for being here. And we'll move on. We have the journal of the meeting of 2 days ago. What is your pleasure?
Judge, I move that we approve the journal.
Second. Motion been made and second for approval of the journal. Any questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Anybody object to the journal? Okay. Moving on. We have two items that need to be addressed tonight. And the first on my list is under tab 2 in the book. And proposed ordinance 20-32, 2021 annual budget. What is your pleasure? I need a motion and a second.
Judge, I move that the proposed ordinance 20-32 be on the table for consideration by the court.
Second. Motion been made and seconded. So, proposed ordinance 20-32. Counselor, will you read the ordinance by title only?
Proposed ordinance 20-32 be enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an ordinance being titled an appropriation ordinance to establish the annual operating budget for calendar year 2021.
You've heard the ordinance read. The floor is now open for discussion on the proposed ordinance 20-32.
Judge Baker, this is Justice Lahosky. I have a question.
Yes, sir.
May I request Justice Pickett, since he is the chair of Budget and Finance, to maybe give us a brief overview of this year's budget and just the highlights of what might be different from last year, if he's prepared to present something of that nature?
Justice Pickett, can you give an overview? Is your microphone on number one?
Yes.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
Justice, I'll be glad to respond to you briefly. The first is that we have a proposed annual budget. There has been some modification of the individual department budgets that we considered and approved during the budget hearings. The budget also includes a 3% across-the-board salary increase. And we have a $231,000 available to appropriate.
Thank you, Justice Pickett.
Other discussion on the budget.
Yeah, this is Justice Kendrick. I've got a question for Justice Pickett, if he might know it.
Fired up.
How many new positions are we adding with this, in this budget, and what all are they? I think I got them just from watching the committee meetings, but if you could go over that too so everybody understands it.
Seven.
That one was already added.
Okay, do you have any more specifics on that? Where are those positions? Like what department and what are they for?
Six of them are cops grants.
And the other one was mine.
And one in the circuit.
County clerk's office.
One in the county clerk's office.
But the six were already added this year for the cops grant.
Just one.
Justice Kendrick, I'm not sure if you heard the discussion, but one position was added.
Then I heard one in the county clerk.
One in the county clerk's office, six in the sheriff's office that were created through the COPS grant for a total of seven.
Okay, very good.
I was going to ask Margaret,
what is that position for? What are they going to be doing? The justification for adding it?
I sent out an email to y'all back before the budgeting time, but I have been running short in my office for the last over 5 years, actually. This person will allow me to have two people doing voter registration, records, and elections. Then I will have two people that will be two people doing accounts payable and backing up the payroll clerk. And then I will have two people work in the front office doing probates, marriage license, passports. All other Class 6 counties except for one have seven employees. Some of them even have up to nine. Eight.
Okay, how many, is this the first position you've added since you've been in that office, or have you added positions since you've were elected?
This will be the first one I've added.
Thank you.
Follow up.
Your Honor, this is Steve Good. I've got a question, if I might, for Justice Pickett.
Yes. Yes.
Justice Pickett, you talked about a 3% across the board cost of living raise. The national cost of living raise has been Social Security, which typically is per COLA is formed off of, is only going to be 1.3. Why did we choose 3, and what's that 3% costing the county this year?
Well, if you'll remember, Justice Good, that 2 years ago we gave the first across the board 4% increase, and it's probably the first across the board salary increase since you've been a member of the court, and you're the senior member. Since 2005, the average increase in the consumer price index is about 2%. And the budget 2 years ago had across the board of 4%, which was a catch up from at least from 2005. The cost of living increase for the CPI since all 18 has been 1.6%.
I guess my follow-up would be, what's the 3% going to cost the county this year, or in 21?
Just a minute, and I think that I may have that number.
Good, were you wanting a figure for county general or for all funds?
I would prefer all funds, if possible, what it's going to cost the county across the board.
$300 plus five, that's my feedback too.
Sarah's working on that figure right now.
Thank you very much.
Steve, do you have a follow up right now on till they get that figure? Do you have anything else you want to question right now?
I do have a question.
I'm addressing Justice Good.
No, sir, that's all I got. I'll yield
the
floor.
Okay, that'd be fine. All right, somebody's.
Kate.
I'm not sure. I know who said that. Another question.
Yeah, this is Zach.
Okay, Zach.
So just to clarify, the $231,000 we're showing available to appropriate, is that a projection with carryover that'll come in March?
The carryover in March will be the final accurate carryover. The 231, excuse me, is Mr. Sanson's current estimate of what the carryover will be.
Right, I understand that, but this is a projection when the final carryover does come over. Of the funds that are going to be available to appropriate within County General.
Scott, are you on board? Scott? Scott, can you hear the
question? Yes, sir.
Can you?
Yeah, I've got you here.
Okay, go ahead.
Let me have a question one more time, please. The mics are not picking up around that very well.
Hey, Scott, this is Zach. Can you hear me?
Hey, Zach. I've got you. Go ahead.
Okay. So I'm showing that it looks like we have $231,000 available to appropriate. That's on the 2021 projection to the right in green.
Are you looking at the revenue section that was sent out by Tom Anderson today? I just want to make sure we're looking at the same thing.
I'm not. I'm looking at it online.
Okay. The projected carryover right now is $3,117,243.
Okay.
I'm looking at the projections, the revenue projections that were sent out by Tom this morning, or sent to me this morning. I'm presuming it was sent to y'all. Everybody's on the same page. That shows available to appropriate $12,252.62.10. Current budget $12,020,376.88 with amount available not appropriated $231,685.22.
Okay, that is what I'm looking at. Okay.
Okay.
So I guess what I'm saying is that if this budget were passed right now, that's what you're projecting we would have available to appropriate from County General come March.
Yes, sir. That's projection. You know, all of this stuff is. It's an educated guess, like we talked before. Typically, that I project that carryover amount, as we've said before, pretty conservatively. We don't want to miss that. It's going to be pretty close. Just looking at what we have right now, what we've got to come in for the end of the year, it's going to be real close.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. Thank you, Scott.
While I've got y'all here and looking at this, if I may. If you look at that third, that CARES Act, that third one down, I know we're talking about County General mainly right now, but that 1005, we received a check for $1,264,070.99 yesterday. That has been an update to that revenue section.
Justice Good, to answer your question, the total amount for this year would be $415,436. That's across all funds. It would be $207,000 for County General.
Thank you very much.
This is Justice Rowland. I've got a few things I'd like to add to this conversation, if I could.
Go right ahead, Justice Rowley.
As a member of the Budget and Finance Committee for the last 2 years, one of my goals has been to tighten our belts, and I commend many of the department heads for doing that. and also other members of the Budget and Finance Committee, as well as the other members of the court, on really taking a hard look at the issues that we have in this county. Like the judge said the other day, we've got an issue with the jail. If we've got ideas how to pay for it, you know, he wants some ideas, and that's a dilemma for us. And some other dilemma for us are underpaid employees. And while I appreciate all of our employees, I don't think there's a member of this court, well, there might be, but I think most members of this court agree that we have some employees in some areas that are underpaid, and, you know, that has been an issue of mine personally to get this county in a shape that we can pay all employees fairly and that we can take care of the needs of the county fairly. So how do we do that? And I just want to just bring light to the fact that the sheriff's office employs somewhere around 190 employees. So that may not be exactly right. Angie would have to give you that figure. But with 190 employees, it's very difficult to budget any kind of raises or increases in salaries, because that is the area that primarily this county does not pay well in. And because of it, we have tremendous turnover. And me personally, I kind of think that we have become a training camp for officers, and then they move on to other counties. And that is a big expense to this county. So I would like to see a plan in the future of somehow how do we alleviate this training atmosphere that our county has come into, and so that we can offer better, right, you know, a better cost of living to those employees as well. Now, while I think a 3% increase in salaries is on the high side, I was in favor in the meeting of sending this to full court without a percent on it. And the reason why I was in favor of that is because while I think 3% is on the high side, I think 1% is more doable. I want to remind the members of the Budget and Finance, and I want to announce to the other members of the court, if you did not listen to our meetings, we cut budgets. We cut budgets again this year. And in doing that, we also said, or I did on several occasions, we're cutting these budgets, but that does not mean we are not going to have needs of this county. And for us to turn around and cut these budgets, and we're trying to get this county headed in the right direction so that we can take care of all of county and not just, you know, and not leave the sheriff's office out, honestly, with these underpaid employees and with the needs, the jail needs. But if we can get this county moving towards a pathway of success in all areas, that's only going to benefit everybody in the long run. And I feel like a 3% increase, in my opinion, is a little on the high side because we're jumping out there, we're spending money. And yes, pay raises are wonderful and awesome, and I would love to give a 4% pay raise, but then the reality is that we just can't do that, in my opinion, and meet the needs and address the true issues that this county is having, which are deteriorating buildings and underpaid employees in some departments. Now, it's very easy for one department to come and say, hey, I'd like a pay increase for my employee. Well, that's very easy for us as a quorum court to address because it's one person. Now, you put yourself in the shoes of Angie, who usually does the presenting of their budget, and I can't imagine what she goes through having to be a voice and what the sheriff goes through to try to get their men and women paid adequately and more fairly so they're not losing them right and left to other counties. So anyway, so I don't mean to preach here, but, you know, I personally am not for a 3% increase just because of the issues that this county has. I wouldn't negotiate down to 1%. I think that's nice and fair. And, you know, it's something we can always look at. Or we can kick this to after projections come in and discuss this again in the spring. I think that's a good option for us as well. One other thing I want to note real quick is y'all said 7 positions. And I think we missed, there is a part-time position, just so everybody is aware, from the prosecuting attorney's office. Am I correct on that? Prosecuting attorney's office that's wanting to come out of county general, a new part-time position.
I think that's a part-time position in the public defender's office.
Paid out of county general.
Paid out of county general, yes, ma'am.
We did not include that in that 7, so really there's kind of 7.5, so... Anyway, that's something that everybody needs to be aware of, too. And then there is a pay increase that everybody needs to be aware of that I think we need to discuss more in detail, and that is for the coroner's department. So, anyway, but we can continue on with the discussion about the 3% raises. That's where we're at. Thank you. But that's my thoughts on it. Thank you.
Judge, other discussion? Yes, Mr. On the 3%, I'm in favor of the 3%, and I believe it does include the Sheriff's Department. Is that correct? It's inclusive for all county employees?
Across the board.
Across the board. So the Sheriff's Department is not being withheld any money. I think, if my memory serves me right, and I can be corrected here, I think we isolated the Sheriff's Department in 2015. Didn't we not do something special for the Sheriff's Department in 2015 and not include the rest of the county? If I'm not mistaken, I believe that's correct.
So, Justice Boyer, I think they're having trouble hearing you online. You might want to bring the microphone a little bit closer.
Don't holler like I did the other night, please. Forgive me. Can everybody hear me now? Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Okay. I'll go back and restart then. I think the 3% includes the Sheriff's Department. I don't think we have segregated any departments. It's all encompassing, all inclusive of all county employees. So the Sheriff's Department will get a 3% bump, as well as the collector's office and the circuit clerk's office and the assessor's office and all the other offices. So I don't think that the sheriff in his department is being withheld any finances from this budget. And we did something in 2015, especially for the sheriff's department, and we did not include the whole county at that time, if I'm not mistaken. So to isolate departments, I don't think it's good policy either for the quorum court to do. I think we ought to be able to, instead of cherry pick, we ought to be able to take care of all of our county employees. I will be in favor of the 3%.
Other discussion?
Judge?
Yes.
I just want to, I was thinking about this and like kind of what Rosie was saying. Justice Rowland was saying, I was thinking about this, and I was reminded of an obligation we have here in about 3 or 4 years, and that's an obligation to fund these 6 positions that we took on with the COPS grant. We've got to fully fund these positions at a cost of, I believe it was around $400,000. Sheriff Rawls can correct me if I'm wrong on that number. But to fully fund these positions, and I would, and with what's left over in county general, that does not equal $400,000. So my concern is that we need to, as our projected revenues rise, and it will, because we are thankfully living in a fantastic community that continues to grow, but as our projected revenues rise, we don't need to spend all that revenue. A part of that needs to be held back and kind of just kept an eye on and kept back a little bit for funding that COPS grant, whenever that bill comes due here in about 4 years. Sheriff Prowse, did you have a different number on that besides 400K roundabout? And you're on mute, sir.
I don't have the numbers in front of me. Angie may be able to answer that, but it was 400 plus right in there.
That's what I thought. All right, thank you very much. So I just want to remind the court to keep in mind that that's something that we've got to keep that in our back pocket, because the last thing I want to have to do is come year four, we don't have the money, and for some reason there's a tax increase proposal on the table. That is the last thing I want to see. So I'll do whatever we need to do to keep that from happening and make sure we've got the money to fully fund that COPS grant when the time comes.
Other discussion.
Tyler. I'm sorry. This is Angie. I was just going to let y'all know, I'm looking at the budget that is being presented to Quorum Court tonight, so it has the 3% raise attached to the COPS grant positions. But with the 3% raise for the COPS grant for 2021, it totals $348,418.20. So just to clarify that total on that.
Sounds good. Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Justice Rowland. I just have one more subject to make everybody aware of. Let's not forget that we are in the middle of a COVID pandemic. And there are many people that have lost their jobs and many people that are due to lose their jobs if shutdowns continue. Now, we've protected our employees, and I've been grateful that we've been able to protect our employees, and Faulkner County has actually done great. That's not been the case over the course of all of Arkansas. We don't know what the next few months hold, and I just want us to be responsible. That's all I want us to do, is be responsible with our funds. These aren't our funds. These are taxpayers' funds, and I think they deserve for us to be responsible as well. Thank you.
Judge, this is Steve Good. I've got another question, if I might.
You can.
So, Justice Pickett, or Tom, one of y'all be able to help me maybe. Tell me our cost of insurance increase. What percentage was that across the board this year? And how much is that going to cost us total dollars?
Tom?
Justice Good, can you hear me? This is Tom Anderson.
Yes, sir, I can. Thank you very much.
Yes, it was right at a 0.5% increase. And I would have to, I'm quarantined at home, so just a moment, let me see if I can get it pulled up here. We requested $4.285 million.
And that's an increase of how much over last year?
I believe it's a 0.5%. I'll have to go just a moment. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, dollars, if you don't mind.
Okay, just a moment. And, Sheriff, if you had that called up, you could speak up. You may get it quicker than I do.
That's $127,000.
Steve, did you hear that?
Say that again. I'm sorry. I didn't hear that.
$127,638.
Thank you. All right, sir. Next time you can stand up.
Floor's still open.
Go ahead, Zach.
I did want to bring this up, and just I've thought more about it since it happened in the budget committee meetings, but I want to talk for a second on the coroner department, or the coroner's department. So the coroner, I guess, went and maxed out her certification levels through additional testing and certifications and whatnot. So she has obtained the highest level certification that she can achieve, apparently, in her position, along with some certifications for her coroner's assistant and the deputy coroner. They came with a proposal for a $16,000 raise for the coroner, and I think it was $5,000 raise for the other two positions. After discussion, we amended the proposal and passed an $8,000 raise for the coroner, which took it from $58,000 to $66,000, and then basically a $2,300 raise for the assistant and the deputy coroner. I've thought more about that lately. I feel like it may be too little ambitious. I do think you should be rewarded for, you know, bettering yourself and earning more qualifications. But I did want to bring that up and see if anybody else on the court had thoughts, concerns with that in front of us or not. Because like I said, I've thought about that more. So I'll leave it there. If anybody wants to comment, I welcome it. If not, then that's fine as well.
Zach, this just a moment. What was your bottom line on that? Leave it like y'all proposed it, or are you? Is that what you're saying, or what, Zach?
Really, I just wanted to make everybody aware that did happen. That is currently on the budget, and I didn't know if anybody wanted to make comments on that because it is a pretty significant raise compared to what I've been exposed to last year. If anybody had concerns or wanted to discuss that, I did want an opportunity for that to be said. But if not, then I have nothing further to say.
Thanks, Zach. Floor still open. The judge?
Yeah. Hey, this is Chris Kendrick.
All right, Chris, go ahead. We got another fellow, but you're next, Chris.
Yes, sir. Just to kind of chime in, like some of the other justices have in this, I definitely have concerns about a 3% COLA raise. I think, personally, looking at a COLA raise would be better done after carryover comes in, because everything that we're discussing is living on hopes and dreams and of having a good carryover amount. So I think it'd probably be better to be discussing that when carryover comes in. And as far as just some of these pay increases and people expanding their departments, that's a little concerning too, because we are in hard times right now. There's a lot of businesses that are hurting. There's a lot of people that are hurting. They're working harder. A lot of people have lost their jobs. A lot of people aren't going to get raises this year. So I just think we need to be very cognizant of that. And I think that'd probably be another reason why it would be better to not have a 3% COLA in this and look at a potential COLA when carryover comes in, because with a 3% carryover, or a 3% COLA, I don't think there's any way I can vote in favor of this budget. I know earlier when I asked about the additional position, the part-time position that was brought up here a little bit ago wasn't discussed. I would like a little more info on that, how much they're asking for out of County General. What's the justification for that as well? But that's just some of the comments I have right now until I get a little more information.
Tom, are you familiar with that enough to address it without me? Tom Anderson?
Go ahead, Bill.
Well, Tom, I was going to say, it looks like Judge Foster is online. I'm not sure you can see that. And Judge Foster might be in a better position to talk about that particular position.
Judge Foster, can you hear us?
I can. Okay. I can.
Why don't you address that part-time position?
All right. Well, with the permission of the court, I'll sort of launch it. It's going to sound like a pitch, guys, and it's not. I have to give you a little bit of background, so I'm going to ask you to indulge me. I'm going to try to keep this under 5 minutes. I can. All right. We're fighting all different kinds of crime. We're fighting drugs. We're fighting fighting theft, fighting every kind of crime we can, doing everything we can. One of the types of crime we're fighting is violent crimes against people, homicides, batteries, that sort of thing. It's been shown here in Faulkner County that money spent fighting domestic violence reduces the crime rate. We started a program in 1996. I realize that before some of you guys were born, but we had 4 domestic violence-related homicides in Faulkner County that year. After our first year of operation, we had 3. The next year, we had 2. The next year, we had 2. The next 2 years, we had 1. And for the next 2 years, we didn't have any. And then I wandered off and became the state special prosecutor after that, and I don't know what happened. But what it amounts to is that if we spend money on our domestic violence programs, what we see is a reduction in crime. And we see a reduction in the types of crime that we're most concerned with. My iPad is sitting on a brief right here that I was working on when this meeting got started. A man shot his wife in the back with a .30-30 up in Van Buren County. It's domestic violence-related homicide, capital murder. It's still in the courts. Happens a lot. Okay, here's what that money's for. We've done something different in Faulkner County. We had it in place years ago, and we have it in place again now. All your civil domestic orders of protection come into one division. You have one judge who hears all orders of protection that involve domestic violence. All the divorces involving domestic violence come into that same division. So the same, and that would be me, I don't need to be coy. So the same judge hears every order of protection. If there's a divorce, same judge hears that divorce, so they can't play off against each other. All the criminal charges that involve domestic violence of a felony level or misdemeanor appeals come into that same court. So what we have is Fifth Division has everything domestic violence related comes into it, and it's working great. Justice Higgins, various others have helped us and worked on getting this working, and it's working like a champ. And we haven't had to ask for any money yet. Now, that's the buildup. Here's why the public defender needs that money and why we need that position. Right now, we are poised, and it's important. I'm not as excited about it as a lot of other people are, but it is important, and it will save lives across the state. Right now, we're ready for the Administrative Office of the Courts and the Department of Finance and Administration to take our little project that we put together here and take it statewide. And it's replicable all across the state in all 75 counties. Right now, this is the only county where we have it. And, again, it saves lives. In order for us to be recognized as an official specialty court by the Supreme Court and the Administrative Office of the Courts, there have to be certain hoops that have to be jumped through. One of the hoops, and that's what we're talking about tonight, one of the hoops is the public defender has to buy into it. What that means is the public defender has to have somebody who shows up for court every time we have our domestic violence homicide, or not necessarily homicide, but domestic violence criminal cases, and who helps staff the cases, helps monitor the batterer's treatment program and compliance, things of that nature. So, yeah, it's necessary. It will increase the delivery of services. It will decrease the incidence of violent crime in Faulkner County, even though what you're doing is you're hiring a public defender. And for those of you who don't know, and that'd probably be anybody who just hadn't talked to me today because I say this about every 24 hours, I was the elected prosecutor for 20 years. I was the state special prosecutor for 7 years. I was a deputy for 8 years. So for me to come in here tonight and tell you that it's important to Faulkner County and it's going to save lives, if you will appropriate that $50,000 to the public defender, trust me. Anybody who knows me knows that I believe that that is necessary and that it's important. I'll answer any questions you got, or if you want me to move on into Chapter 2, I can do that too.
Hey, Judge, I do have a question for you. This is Chris Kendrick.
Yes, sir.
Judge, are those currently the way it operates right now? You said it would allow them to staff and do some things. Are all those actions being done right now, the way the system is set up? Are those cases currently being staffed and tracked by the public defender?
lives in Faulkner County. That's different from me talking about how I think an office is operating. You see the difference, right? You see the difference, because I'm fixing to talk to you about how an office is operating, and that's not part of the pitch. I see what the public defender is operating with. And I'm telling you what, guys, I mean, when I first started as prosecutor, the salary was $32,000 a year, and there were two deputies, and the salaries were $8,000 a year, and that was it. So I know what it means to squeeze a nickel until the buffalo screams for mercy. And I'm in a position to tell you that the public defender is doing that right now. So they're showing up when we have criminal domestic violence court. They are. And I can't tell you that Lynn Clemens has told me no on anything I've asked him for. But he cannot give me the go-ahead for the buy-in right now in order for us to be the model court and, like I say, get the authorization from the Supreme Court. Because his boss, the commission, Public Defender Commission, won't allow him to. They did tell him that if you guys would fund a part-time position for this court, then they would allow him to do it. And that would be the missing piece of our puzzle that gives us the model domestic violence court program that has been shown to be effective all across the country. So the answer to your question is they're not doing everything that they would be doing, but they're doing a lot. But they're not doing enough because we have people in Little Rock who are saying you need to have this, 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 and this. And it will improve the delivery of services as well. And again, I'm speaking as somebody who always came into court representing the person who was on the receiving end, not who was dishing it out.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it.
Okay.
I got
one.
I do have a question.
I don't think this one's for you, Judge. This is for Justice Pickett. I'm sitting here looking over the public defender budget, just making sure I'm looking at the right thing. If my understanding is correct, will this be the first position that we're funding out of the budget? I'm sitting here looking at, I'm making sure I've got the right budget book pulled up. But is that accurate? We currently don't. We're not paying any budgets or any salaries out of that.
That's right. While he's looking up the budget, the state pays the public defender. We furnish them office space. We furnish necessary needs of the complex. But the state does fund the public defenders. They will not fund this position, this part-time position. So that's why it's in the budget. The state pays all the other. John's looking it up in his book. And I'll let him respond.
So if we do move forward with this, it's because the state's not going to fund it, and Faulkner County is basically saying we're going to go above and beyond, even though the state won't help.
That's my understanding. They have so much allocation for different counties around, and they're not changing that, but they hadn't had a request other than in this county for this position and to get certified.
Judge, may I add something, please?
Yes, please.
Okay. Your reference to Faulkner County doing something to get it done that the state won't do for us, that's a theme. Judge Clausen, Judge Baker, everybody tried to get a drug court for the northern two counties. Couldn't get a grant. Tried year in, year out, year in, year out. We sat down with the probation office, the sheriff up there, all the various agencies that participate in a drug court, all of them with no state money at all, expanded their budgets. We now have what's called an enhanced supervision program. It's a drug court. It's not official. It's not sanctioned. It's not blessed by the Supremes. But we have a drug court because the folks at Van Buren and Searcy County said the state's not going to help us. We don't know what. We'll find a way to do it. And we're doing it. This is a similar type thing. This isn't happening anyplace else in the state, as far as I know, and I think I would if it were. Thank you.
John, the question's back.
Very good.
You got a question, John. I think he's.
John's got his budget looking at. What? John, you got the floor. Have you looked at it?
So what's the question again?
I think the question is, are we funding any other positions for the public defender's office?
Correct.
And as far as salary positions?
No.
We do not. We do not in the public defender's office. And we didn't ask this to be a full-time. We asked for it part-time, what I understand. A part-time position that we could fund. But John's still looking.
I have an interim question, Judge, if you'll take it.
Yes.
Judge Foster, I really appreciate the pitch. I think it's fantastic. I love it. That's great. We needed that background story and that information and all that kind of stuff. Look, as we look at this, and if this gets passed tonight, and then looking at the next year, looking at 2021, and possibly this new may happen or not, is there a good way to say, present the results? You know what I'm saying? To say, look, this is what it was before, and now look what we've done with, like you said, only $50,000-$60,000 or whatever. Because I would love to be able to see that and reassess it and just look at it, because you know, we pass money sometimes for things like this and then don't ever see or hear from it again. You know, so it would be great to see some benefits and stuff like that.
As I may have alluded a few moments ago, I spent 20 years on my knees in front of you guys. So I understand how that stuff works. And, yes, part of being official and recognized and blessed by the Supremes is they have quantification procedures to where they can measure, and that you have to have performance standards. And you know, in order to maintain your qualification or certification, you have to be able to show those things. And so, yes.
Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir.
John, have you located the one that he is asking about?
Justice Kendrick, this is a new appropriation in the public defender's office.
Very good. Now, all that information was very helpful. The discussion with Judge Baker and Judge Foster giving all that information, that was very helpful. It was good to know. Thank you.
So we're still open for discussion on this appropriation.
I'd like to speak again if I may, Zach.
Okay. Zach, go ahead.
Okay, I don't know if who can help me on this. I do want to go back to the corner.
Here, you're next. You're next.
So, when did the corner position get? Who was our previous corner? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
And Pat, Moore. Pat Moore run the Coroner's Association for the state of Arkansas and developed and did the training for coroners in the state of Arkansas. Pat Moore.
Okay, and when did he step down?
When he died. 3 years ago, August of 1917.
Okay, so he passed while in office?
Yes.
Okay, once we refilled the position, does anybody know what the salary adjusted at that time? Based off where it currently is?
I don't recall, but it hadn't been adjusted. The salary has not been adjusted. It was similar. We had a 3% or 4% raise since then, but you can deduct
that. Right, so outside of that 4%, that salary
has been
increased by the 4% that was passed by the court a couple of years ago.
Yes.
Yes,
there has been no adjustment in the coroner's salary other than the 4%.
Okay, I'll go ahead and ask it out right now. Does anybody on the court have issue with an $8,000 raise for this position, or does the court feel that it is justified?
This is Justice Kendrick. I do have a question after that. So when did the coroner, our current coroner, get her latest certification completed.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, Jessica, yeah. Are you on? Yes, go ahead.
Yeah. So I've had my certifications for one of them I've had since 2016, the other one I got in 2018. There was a bill that was passed on September the 1st of 2017, which was 3 days before Pat passed away. And he was fixing to come before the court and ask for the same thing I'm asking for. Due to the statute that was passed that all coroner medical legal death investigating and training authorization for salary adjustment for certified county coroners, I can read the statute to you if you need me to. I sent that out before I went to the personnel committee. But there's supposed to be an adjustment to the maximum annual salary for certified coroners if you are certified, nationally and state certified. This is not something that I just pushed this year to try to get a raise. I've had this. I just haven't came before you. I didn't feel that it was right for me to be appointed coroner in 2017 and then come ask for a raise, just what Pat was fixing to do. I tried to get a couple years under my belt before I come before you to ask for that. But due to the state statute, yes, Pat was the president of the Coroners Association. He is the one that got this in the legislation, got it passed. I just was trying to, I didn't feel it was right for me to come right then and ask for a raise due to this statute that came out.
So the previous coroner who had all the certifications was making, the pay band really hasn't been adjusted other than the COLA that's been approved. So you came into that position when you were placed into it by the judge, making that amount, and you didn't have all of the certifications. Am I understanding that correct? Since you just got one a couple of years ago, is that accurate?
I had my state certification, but I do have my national certification now. And there's not very many coroners in the state that has a national certification.
Hey, Phil, can you speak to that statute that's being referred to?
So there's two different statutes that are in play here. The first is the statute that defines the compensation band for every elected county officer. That's 14-14-1204. And then the second statute, the one that Ms. Freeman referenced, is 14-14-1212, which talks about the special designation as a certified county coroner. The problem that we have is typically that 14-14-1204, the base statute that talks about every elected official, that includes coroner. Obviously, Ms. Freeman's not elected. I think about 20 or more years ago, it's been more than 20, I think it was 1990, that there was a referendum from the Form Court that went to the people of Faulkner County, and they voted to make the coroner's position a non-elected position answerable to the county judge or serving the county judge. So at that point, the coroner became an appointed position. So when they created the statute, they didn't really, I don't think, intend to, when I say the statute, the base statute, 1204, there's not a footnote in there for non-elected coroners. Even though the title says elected county officers, of course it talks about county judge, county treasurer, every county officer is included in that statute. But the second statute says nothing about an elected county official. So if we were just looking at the first statute, and Zach, if you were asking, does that first statute, the base one, apply to Ms. Freeman? Ordinarily, I would say no. The title says elected county officer, so that doesn't necessarily apply to Ms. Freeman. However, the second statute, I'm guessing Pat had a hand in drafting that statute, because the second statute doesn't say anything about being an elected official. It just says certified county coroner. And obviously, Pat's not here, but I have a feeling involved in crafting that wording such that it did not say elected. I don't know that, but it is odd. And that second statute references the base level statute. And all it really does is create a maximum, a higher maximum than the base statute allows. So that's a long way of explaining that I believe that Ms. Freeman has the ability to be paid more or have a higher band, if you will, but that doesn't necessarily change her minimum. So that just establishes the minimum and maximum of what Ms. Freeman or any coroner can earn. Does that answer your question?
I believe so. Thank you, Phil.
Now, this is Jasper Rowland. Does the 14-14-12 have a minimum, or does it only list a maximum?
No, I believe it does have a minimum. Let me look it up real quick.
While you look that up, I've done some research of my own, and I presented this in the Budget Finance Committee. You know, my issue, I'm a number person, so, you know, this is not personally directed at anybody, and I apologize if anybody takes this personally, because I don't mean this personally, but when you look at other Class 6 counties, Parker County and I believe it's Sling County, we pay over $150,000 as a whole for all employees in the coroner's office. Everybody else in Class 6 counties pay under $99,000. So our coroner here in Faulkner County, it has herself, and she also has two deputies. Many of the counties only have one deputy. Also, our coroner has a part-time available budget of $20,000, and then some overtime a budget of like $1,900, something like that. So I'm not proposing that change in any way. I do have an issue with it going up $8,000. I mean, when she came to the table, it was requested a 21% pay increase, and I'm sorry, I just about fell over. But I don't have an objection to some type of small increase, but not an $8,000 increase. If you go in and you look at all other Class 6 counties, she's being paid pretty well. And at $66,000, she'll definitely be paid pretty well. And but, you know, like I said, I appreciate what she does. I appreciate what our deputies do in that department. I couldn't imagine doing it myself. But I also have to appreciate the numbers in it all and the fairness in it all towards other positions within the county. So anyway, so that's kind of where I stand. I'm not for the $8,000 raise, something, but not $8,000. Appreciate it. And Phil, do you have an answer?
Yes, the minimum for Class 6 is $8,723. Also, just as a side note, Class 7, the minimum is $45,680. So quite a discrepancy there.
Thank you.
Hey, Phil, what was the minimum for Class 6 again?
$8,723. That's with the cost of living increase by statute for 2021.
Okay, what does the $8,000 represent again? I must have missed something.
That's the very minimum that a Class 6 can pay their coroner.
Did you say $8,000?
Yes, sir.
I thought that said $68,000.
Counselor? Yes, you've got
four. Now, this is Randy Higgin.
Yes, Randy. Go ahead.
So, I guess I'd like to add a little color to it. I can appreciate the fact that some of the newer JPs, and I noticed that they did not know Pat Moore, and by not knowing Pat Moore, they certainly missed the blessing. In our county, Pat was probably the best coroner in the state of Arkansas, you know, at the time of his passing. And, you know, I've been a reserve officer with the Faulkner County Sheriff's Office and Green Bar PD for 26 years next month. And I have, Rosie made the comment, you couldn't imagine doing what they do. I've been on dozens of death calls with the coroner's office. And I can remember back in the day, if you'll humor me for a moment, but back in the day when reserve officers were pretty much rolled on a lot, if not most, of the death calls, so that we can help out with the physical aspects of dealing with rolling over, deceased people, helping them move them, helping look around. Deputies would be engaged with it. And we look at just numbers and say, this county, only has two deputies or one deputy coroner and those kinds of things. The question would be, how much additional support are they getting from outside the coroner's office? That may be compensating for that a little bit. Maybe they roll the deputy every time that the coroner is rolled and the support is different. So I'm saying that would be something that we would have to look at, but maybe the numbers don't tell us. I can also tell you that 25 years ago in what Pat Moore has done to our coroner's office and what Jessica has continued to do is take us out of Stone Age. The forensic efforts and what they do and the fact that they're involved in the investigation where they're looking for evidence, it's more for what the coroner's office does as opposed to just, dealing with, the deceased people. They're involved in the investigation. And lastly, I can tell you that Pat has left a legacy, and it's amazing how he deals with people. I can only say that and I'm not doing Jessica out since she has been coroner, and have when she was a deputy, but the compassion that they have for the survivors of a lot of these deceased people and the amount of time they spend with them. I don't know if I necessarily want to encourage everybody to go ride with the coroner and see what that's about, but there's a lot more to it. And so I'm not nearly as, I'm not really going to push back on the salary. I think it's deserved. I think we could probably have gone back to Pat Moore and say, as a foreign court, we're going to cut your salary in half. And he just said, that's fine, I'm going to do it anyway. And that wouldn't have been fair to Pat, but that's how much passion he had for the job. And I think you have to have that passion to do this job. So that's just my
opinion. Hey, thank you, Justin Higgins. I have one question for you, and I appreciate the feedback on that. When it comes to this Ramey's, in your opinion, do you think it is setting a precedent that might, encourage other departments to come and ask for an increase of this magnitude per se?
That's a fair question. Here's the deal. We as the quorum court have every right to say no. I'll go back and say and put it in perspective with this. I can tell you that Pat Moore was woefully underpaid. And outside of the circle of people from law enforcement, the sheriff's office, Conway PD, Green Bar PD, all those that dealt with him, they knew the impact it had. If you ever had to deal with Pat as a survivor on a situation, you would know that he was worth every penny that he made and carried that over. And I think, I think a worker is worthy of it. And in this case, and you guys know I'm pretty conservative with the numbers as well, and I appreciate the job that the Budget Finance Committee has done in trying to rein in spending and things, but in this case, I'm pretty supportive of that.
Hey, thank you, Justice Higgins. I appreciate the feedback on it.
Yes, sir.
This is Justice Pearson. I have a couple of questions. If I can have the floor.
You can. You can.
Thank you. Just one, one question for the coroner. Jessica, can you tell us or the council, whoever has the number of most readily available, what the new state statute recommended coroners be paid that have this national certification?
Jessica, did you hear the question, Jessica?
So let me answer really quick since I have it right in front of me. And what the 2017 statute did was change the maximum from the base statute. And that maximum for Class 6 counties is $111,375.
Okay. Did it, I was under the impression that there was something in there that set a suggested range four coroners that had passed and obtained this national certification?
I don't know of a minimum that is included on that. In fact, when I specifically asked AAC, they're charged by statute with coming up with the annual increase numbers, and this was the number that AAC provided. So,
okay, does that accord with you, Jessica? Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Then my last comment is just to, for members who weren't present during the Budget and Finance Committee meetings when we had these initial discussions, we already cut the initial request in half. So what's in the budget is half of what the coroner's supervisor, in this case the county judge, thought fit for them to receive. And so there's already been some cutting done. I just want to make sure the rest of the committee members are aware of that. I am also in favor of supporting the coroner's office with this pay raise.
Justice Boyer, you have the floor.
My question's been answered, Judge. Thank you. Your question's been answered. Okay. One quick thing that happened last week, just for information only. You don't get the privilege of doing the things sometimes. Jessica brought the paperwork in to my office for me to sign to have a body cremated. A person had died at Mayflower, and she was dead for 3 weeks in the house. Jessica had to go in on this call to try to determine cause of death. And then no family whatsoever, so then she comes to me authorizing to be cremated. When I signed on to do this job, they didn't mention that I got to sign to cremate folks that I don't know or anybody else. But it's part of it. I recommended the salary that came before the thing, folks, this year under the COVID, and every time the coroner gets called, that is a tough situation, what we're seeing, and there's been a world of COVID deaths that they try to determine the cause of. It's at your pleasure, and I wanted to share that story with you. Floor still open for discussion.
This is Justice Barrett. Jessica, you said that you're on call pretty much year-round. Is that correct?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
365/24/7.
Okay. And are your deputies on call for the same time period? You don't have a rotating call list or anything like that?
Yes, sir. I have a rotating call list. I can only work them 40 hours a week. And if you put somebody on call for 2 days, that's 48 hours right there. But we try to do that. Anytime we have a suicide, homicide, drug overdose, anything like that, I accompany those two deputies. And then I have some part-time who I don't really let go alone by themselves, because it seems like as soon as I get them trained and get them up to speed where they need to be to do the job, I have another coroner's office that jerks them away from me and pays them $50,000 a year to come be a part-time deputy for them. So I feel like I'm in constant turnover with my part-time, because I'll get them trained and then they're gone or what have you. But yes, and it's not just working a death call. I can't even go on a vacation where my phone don't ring every day. It's a funeral home. It's a family. It's my deputies. It's, calling, need instruction. It's insurance companies. I mean, it's something. It's prosecutors needing stuff. The crime lab, I deal with them all the time. I mean, it's just a nonstop deal. It's not a 8 to 5, or and then go home, turn your phone off, and you don't have to do anything else. But I try to.
And I understand that. I understand that completely. Having spent a career at the Conway Police Department almost 29 years, and the vast majority of that I spent on call as a violent crimes detective, I understand completely. You said you've got two deputy coroners, is that correct?
Yes.
And what is their seniority?
Full-time.
Yeah. Oh, full-time. What is their seniority? How long have they been there?
Mark has been there probably about 20 years or so. He's been there longer than anybody. But he was on his part-time. Now, he's only been full-time since Pat passed away in 2017.
Mm-hmm. And I had the pleasure of working with Pat, like I said, for that period. I can recall when Dr. Bannister was the coroner prior to that Pat.
Right.
I have a question. Sheriff, are you still online for Angie?
Sheriff Ryle?
Yes. Yeah, we're on there. Please do.
How much does one of your investigators in Sheriff's CID make right now?
Angie?
Yes, sir. Hold on just a moment. Our investigators are currently at $40,768.
Okay. And are those deputies on call as well?
Our investigators, yes. They have a call rotation.
Okay. All right. Angie, how much are your deputies making currently?
Deputies, entry-level deputy is paid, hold on just a second, we have one entry-level deputy, and the cop strength deputies are paid. I'm turning to it. They're currently paid. The entry level deputies are paid $35,568, and then the rest of the deputies are paid
$36,608. Okay. And Jessica, how much are your deputy coroners making right now?
$37,648
according to our budget. Yes. Okay. And how much are you currently making right now?
$58,591.
Okay. And the investigators at the sheriff's office, they have similar training that you have, correct?
I don't think they're medical legal death investigators or anything like that. They don't have that training, no.
Well, they're the ones that investigate. If it's a homicide or something like that, they're the ones that follow up on that, correct? They interview the suspects and they submit the evidence in a homicide investigation to the crime lab, things of that nature, correct?
Yes. I submit the body and do the investigation surrounding the body, yes.
Okay. All right. I'm all for the coroner's office being trained and getting paid what they should be paid, but I think we all need to take into consideration as well the fact that, you know, the investigators at the sheriff's office who are having to respond to these violent crimes themselves, suicides, things of that nature. They're having to investigate these things as well. They're also having to endure the call rotation, the constant phone calls from the crime lab, the courts, things of that nature. So I'm very well aware of everything you're dealing with. I think the question before many of us is that's a significant raise that is being put into this budget, in this proposed budget. I just don't know what the right answer is. I mean, considering how much everybody else is having to make it, you know, that does the same type of crimes. I've had to deliver death notifications myself many times over the years, and I would say that over, you know, the almost 29 years that I did this for a living, I probably investigated thousands of deaths, whether it be natural cause, suicide, accident, homicide. So I'm very well aware of what your office is going through, and I understand the workload that you're going through, and I appreciate you.
I just hope that you keep that in mind also on the department head. It's not just dealing with the death. My department, we do our own mowing, we do our own weeding, we do our own cleaning. It's not just taking care of death calls. And I hope that you've taken that into consideration as well.
Jessica, one question, please bring up. How many calls you've gone on this year?
Right now, I entered number 998 into the computer this morning.
998?
That's my count what we've had today.
Okay, 998 calls. Okay.
And every one of them was a death, in other words.
Okay, the floor is still open for discussion. Gotten awful quiet. We need to move on. Want to speak up? Mr. Boyer?
Well, I will say something in support of the coroner's office. Like Justice Higgins, I have not been in law enforcement for 29 years, but I have ridden with the coroner. I have ridden with the late Coroner Moore, and I have ridden with our current coroner and the current deputy and current assistant. And to put a number on that, I can't do it. And one of the reasons I can't do it because I've had personal involvement with the coroner's office in my home. I've had personal involvement with the coroner's office in my home. And I understand the trauma that they go through when they're in the home or wherever, the roadside or the hospital bed or the nursing home. They go through the same trauma that the family goes through. I will support this.
Other discussion?
Judge, since there is no further discussion, I'll call the question, please.
Question?
I'm not through discussing.
I think we're going to have a discussion. There's no question.
Steve, I'll raise my hand.
Steve Good, Justice Good, you said you had another question.
Again, Jessica, thank you to you and your staff for all that you do. I greatly appreciate it. You know, if we looked at every department that we've got in the county, there's probably justification for every county-level department getting raises. The reality is the money's just not there. And Justice Barrett, I appreciate, you know, kind of the questioning and the way that you took it. I don't know how, as a court, we could ever consider giving any raises before we take better care of our sheriff's department. And again,
amen.
That's no slight to anybody else, because I appreciate everybody else. But to talk about giving this type of raises to one area when we are woefully underpaying the first line folks in our county, that, you know, government's first responsibility is public safety, and yet that's the ones that we continually kick in the shins. I'm appreciative of all, but man, I can't do that. As far as the other, again, cost of living raise 3%, I can't support that. I don't know how we need to amend that. You know, Justice Rowland mentioned 1%. I could be for that, I suppose. But certainly not 3%, especially when there's a raise already given for the health insurance increase. That's it. I'm done discussing that.
Okay. Okay, yes. Go ahead.
This is Justice Lahosky.
Yes. Yes. You got the floor.
Motion to amend the 2021 budget to include a 1% cost of living increase.
I'll second that.
Motion been made and seconded for a 1% cost of living increase for 2021 and changed in the budget, reduced from 3% to 1%. Is that correct? What I understood, Philip? Okay.
Question?
Yes.
Does the budget, can the budget afford 3% raise?
Can the budget afford a 3% yes. raise? We've got the money. This county's not broke.
Okay. All right.
And so after the CARES Act money came in like it did, we've got $1,000,264 money dropped in our lap.
Well, Judge, what I'm hearing is that there are some that think that we don't have the money to do this.
Well, Scott Sampson's still on there. Scott? Scott?
Yes, sir.
All right. The question's been raised by Justin Boyer that we don't have the money to afford the 3% raise. It was my understanding after we budgeted it in, we still had the 230-something thousand carryover from this past year. And as of yesterday, we got $1.2 million on the COVID relief. So,
Judge?
Yes.
I'd like to leave that COVID money kind of out of the conversation.
That'd be fine.
Y'all can discuss what you want, but as far as I'm concerned, that money is somewhere else. I want to deal with County General Fund 1000.
Okay.
General money.
Yes.
With the projected carryover and the projected revenue, you'll see that, and I believe that 3% is in there. It shows that it's available. Now, that's just bare numbers, and what y'all want to do is totally up to y'all. Y'all make the decision. I just provide the numbers.
Okay. Other comments here?
Follow-up question?
Follow-up.
So the $231,685.22 is to the plus. Is that correct, Treasurer Sampson?
The way I understand it, and I would like to get Tom Anderson in on this, it's my understanding 3% is already showing up in the budget to get to $12,020,000, I believe. That's my understanding. Now, if it's not, then that's news to me. But yes. If it's showing up in the $12 million budget that's requested, then there's $231,000 of funds not appropriate.
All right.
This is Tom Anderson. That's correct. There's a 3% raise indicated in what you have before you, as well as a 12% reserve in County General.
I'm glad you pointed that out. 12%. We're working on 12% instead of the 10 we did last night.
Judge, I think it's better if we leave the CARES Act. I mean,
when discussing... I just said we wasn't broke. Yeah, I'm not saying we're different.
Because that's a totally different discussion.
That's right. All my life.
Question?
Yes.
So I've got a question for Justice Good. Steve, can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So based on your... discussion that you had earlier in support of law enforcement and the lack of support there, are we talking about any type of a follow-up motion or anything afterwards? Because I'm failing to see we're taking the raise from 3% to 1% actually helped our law enforcement of itself, unless we're doing this for purpose of a saving to come back and make some type of adjustment for law enforcement, which I believe you articulated is where we need to play catch-up anyway.
Well, absolutely, and, you know, I think that, you know, in my opinion, this court would be wise to especially address that once the true carryover number has been determined. Scott is very good at what he does at budgeting and forecasting, but I think he would probably even tell you that carryover number is not an exact number today. And so I think this court could sit and say, okay, we're going to do 1% today. And then once we know our actual carryover number, if we're where we need to be, then we can address, and my suggestion would be department by department, certainly not an overall raise, especially when there are departments that are out of line and the Sheriff's Department is certainly lacking right now, in my opinion.
Okay. Thank you for answering that, because, again, I failed to see where just the overall cut was advantageous to anybody at the Sheriff's Office without a follow-up. So I appreciate the answer.
all my life, I felt like that you try to reward performance, not red tape. Our county employees this past year have dealt with a number of upside downs in all the departments. Hopefully, since we're not broke and all that, that you'll consider. But the floor is still open at this time for discussion.
Judge, yes. This is Jess Lahasky. Yeah. Judge Foster made his pitch, I'll sit here and make my pitch. My pitch, and it kind of goes with what Justice Boyer said. Are we in the green? Yes, we're in the green. We're in the green, $200,000-some-odd. But I feel like we have a reputation for looking at our budget 1 year at a time, and that's not going to suffice. That's not going to suffice anymore. We've got to look down the road. We've got to make sure we ain't just in the green, but we're in the green enough to be prepared for what lies ahead. And that's what I'm looking at, is that we've got a COPS grant funding. We've got issues in our jail that we talked about. We've got pay disparity between our sheriff's office. And all these issues, to me, add up to the fact that just almost exactly what Justice Good said, which is, let's do what we know we can do 1%. Let's do 1% right now. And let's come back and look at it. Let's come back after that carryover rolls in and look at it and see what we can do. And I also agree with the treasurer, with the CARES Act money. It's fantastic that $1.2 million fell in our lap, but that is a one-time revenue unless we expect to get it again next year. And I don't feel that it should be spent on any expenses that are going to be reoccurring year over year. Thank you, Judge.
Philip.
Judge Baker, just one clarification there to something Justice Lahasky said, and that is the $230,000-some-odd in the black is after the 3% pay raise. So there would actually be more if the 3% were not taken into account. At least that's my understanding.
Yes, and that's what I want. I want more. I want more than 200 some odd thousand.
Justice Lee Lahasky.
That's not what you spend for an animal shelter.
We're addressing this budget. Let's pay off that other, please. Let's stay with this budget instead of the proposed budget. You had a question, Justice Pickett. You had a question.
Yeah, this is Justice Kendrick. I just wanted to say I definitely think 3%. There's no way I'll support that. 1%, personally, I think the COLA should be addressed after carryovers come in. 1% is better than 3%, though. And two, we've got some major disparities that we need to take care of within the Sheriff's Department. I mean, they have some of the hardest jobs out of anybody out there, and the pay is not good. And we've got to work on getting that up. So the more money that we can put back to do that, the better. And I think this county has done a good job overall this year, considering all these hardships of taking care of their employees, because we're considering a raise. We did give them a raise with paying additional and insurance. And then they also got a leave where they didn't have to take leave due to COVID. And I don't know anybody in the private sector that got leave like that, because anybody else that got sick or had to leave for whatever aspect due to COVID, they had to burn the personal time. So I think we've done a good job taking care of our employees. And we need to do a better job. And I've heard Scott say this over and over again. We've got a spending problem. And if we keep spending all our money, we're never going to be able to address these needs. So while I don't like the 1%, I think it's better than doing 3%. But we've got to control our spending and buckle down, especially in times like this. When times are hard, people are hurting, and we don't know how these numbers are going to carry into the future. Times could get much harder for everybody next year, and we've got to be cognizant of that.
This is Jack Case. I definitely understand that, county employees have, dealt with the adverse year, but, to be noted, everybody has. Everybody on the court is well aware of the adversity that we faced in 2020. My personal experience, I was told in March that, I was getting a raise, and after all this COVID hit, they got mixed with the entire company. So, based off circumstances, so we're all well aware of what 2020 has brought, and the adversity has been for everybody across the world. So, I'm very much sympathetic, but it's not that, the county is secluded in their, activity within, you know, the adverse year. I mean, it's widespread, and I've experienced this on my personal, you know, job, and I'm sure others have as well. I'm in support of the motion.
You're next. Justice Pickett, well,
Mr. Anderson has already responded to Justice Goode. With the 3% raise, we have $231,000 in the black. If we started with a 4% raise, we would still have, for County General, we would still have a positive in the available to appropriate. This discussion about the uncertainty about the future, the way that the Mr. Sampson responds to uncertainty is that he forecasts conservatively. We have the property tax revenues going up every year, about 100,000+. We have Mr. Sampson forecasts carryover very conservatively. And the carryover in March, the March carryovers will be higher than the forecasted carryover that we use in the current budget. Remember that the most valuable asset that the county has is our employees. All county employees are behind the eight ball with their cost of living raises. Given that there have been in the past selective raises for line item employees, but overall the county budget for salaries is behind. A 3% is reasonable. A 3% can be financed in the future. And I recommend that the members of the court move this budget forward, including the 3% raise. Thank you.
This is Justice Rowland. I've got an answer, a question for Scott. Is he there?
Scott, can you hear Justice Rowland?
I've got to learn how to work this stuff, guys. Okay, go ahead.
And Crystal might want to chime in on this too. So of this carryover of 231, if we did the 3% raises.
Hold on, back up in there, Justice Rowland. What carryover of 231 are you talking about?
The amount available to appropriate of 231 that would be left over. My apologies.
Okay, you're talking about the difference between available to appropriate and the budget request.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, gotcha. Back on page.
All right. So follow back over if everyone would over under column 8, 8800 series. Crystal Taylor is giving from her county quarters, recorder's cost, a total of $350,000 this year. This is figured into all of this scenario, correct?
That is correct, yes, ma'am.
So that is due, if I'm understanding correct, and Crystal might want to speak up. I appreciate, Crystal, you're able to do that. You're running a great office. But that is due to, there's just been lots of work, lots of things going on in your office that has brought in those recorder fees. But we need to keep in mind that did not come from county general or sales tax per se. I just think we need to caution. We don't know that she can turn that over every year.
I believe we probably need to talk to Philip Murphy on the legalities of that. I really don't want to speak to what she has to and what she does not have to turn over every year.
Philip.
This is Crystal Taylor. Can I speak to that as well?
Sure, sure.
Justice Rowland, thank you so much for bringing that up. And so in previous years, I was able to do $225,000 to $250,000. This year it was higher, and in the first 10 months this year, we did as much revenue in 12 months in previous years. Real estate has been up through the COVID situation. So I don't know what that will look like in the future. That may continue to go up, but that's why I do a one-time transfer of over and above what my budget expenses are. When there's more revenue, I try to give that back to the county. And that revenue was higher this year, and therefore I gave a larger one-time transfer this year.
Okay, so there we are again in another scenario of what is. We don't know what next year will bring. We don't know what this pandemic is going to do to our sales tax revenue in the future if we're going to continue to grow as we did this year. So anyway, that being said, I still support just the 1%. Amended motion. Thank you.
Philip, you've got a comment.
Yeah, the one extra thing that I would add to what Crystal said, and this is not to take anything away from what was said, but by statute, her fund can only, or has a ceiling of $1 million. It's my understanding that she's exceeded the $1 million. The circuit clerk's office has exceeded that. So basically, anything in excess can be shaved off that $1 million and put into county general. So at this point, I would even, and this is a Scott question, but there's a good chance that there could be further revenue in county general this year from that fund, not less.
And, well, I agree with you on that, Counselor, but I also want to point out one of the reasons why that fund, she's able to get that 350 over a million, is because she runs a tight ship. She is very efficient in her office. So
I agree absolutely. Nothing negative to say on that. However, there is also an argument too that says there are certain employees that are funded through county general, so in the circuit clerk's office. So there's some give and take there as well. And I'm not on either side. I'm just giving you the arguments that can be made for or against.
All right. Questions on the amendment. The amendment is, the way I understand it, a 1% raise. And
excuse me, can I make one comment?
Yes.
I think I presented a year or so ago about the revenue that we bring in through circuit court. That is for county general circuit court. I pay for my own revenue out of the cost recorder's fund and my deputy, and I have another court staff member paying through my recorder's cost. So I guess I'm a little bit offended when you speak of that I have a county general fund. Okay, that is court, and the county does have to provide court, not the recorder. She does not provide court. So I am doing what I do to help the county, and I do have problems with how you put that.
Speaking to the amendment right now, anybody else have comment on the amendment that's on the floor? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll?
Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
No.
Kate.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
No.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
No.
Pickett.
No.
Rowland.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Four no's.
Okay. Amendment does pass. All right. We're back to the original motion. The approval of the budget. Any other discussion at this time on the approval 21
budget? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, would you call the roll? This is for the approval of the budget as amended.
Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yep.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
No.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Shaw.
Yes.
Thank all of you. The budget has been approved for 2021. Moving forward, if you would turn to tab 3, we have ordinance 2009, Faulkner County ordinance that we need to move forward to tonight. What is your pleasure on ordinance 20-09 being amended?
I make a motion that we approve.
Motion's been made. Second. Now, here, who made the second?
Justice Pearson.
Okay. Justice Pearson. Margaret, you got it.
I got it. Thank you.
All right. Counselor, to refresh our moving forward, read the ordinance 20-09, please, by title only.
20-09, being enacted by the Quorum Court of Faulkner County, State of Arkansas, an emergency ordinance to be entitled Special Pay for Employees Due to COVID-19 Pandemic. Sponsored by Justice Higgins and
Pickett. Floor is now open for discussion on moving it.
Counselor, can you go, since you didn't read the ordinance, can you go over the amendments that were made in this proposed ordinance, just so we're clear?
Yes, he can.
Sure, there's three changes. One includes, under the now therefore, point number one, deletion of the two word state of. The second change is the deletion of the term declared by the governor due to COVID-19. And the third is the deletion of December 31st, 2020 and inserting March 31st, 2021.
Kendrick, did that, you have a follow up on that? Is that Justice is.
I guess so. Thank you for doing that, Counselor. One thing that was you mentioned last meeting, Counselor, was that the governor's emergency declaration does not get extended, and we do this, and we remove that language. What are the implications for our county if there's no state level emergency declaration yet we're still saying we're going to adopt this policy leave? Is that like a local emergency we're declaring, or is this just, can you explain the implications of that, if there are any?
I don't think that there's necessarily any legal implications other than generally any emergency ordinance has to be related to a public welfare issue. And if you recall, when we discussed this issue back in March, one of the points of concern was the length of this ordinance and whether or not it would run concurrently with the governor's order. It appears that the governor's order is going to end at the end of this month. My understanding is he's asked the Arkansas legislature to carry the ball from here forward, and it's also my understanding that the Arkansas legislature has refused to take up a special session this year, and we'll begin discussing the topic around mid-January. But as far as the legal implication, the reason for deleting it from that first paragraph is because it appears there will not be a governor's order beginning January 1st.
Okay, and do you know off the top, are there other counties looking at doing what we're doing as well, extending this out, whether there's an emergency declaration or not? Have you heard anything from any other attorneys you might have spoken to about their counties?
Honestly, I have not spoken with any other attorneys about this issue.
Justice Skinner, what would it take? We struck out that part relating to the state of Arkansas and the governor, and we're asking for a 90-day extension on Faulkner County's ordinance is what we're asking for.
Judge, I have a question.
Yes,
sir.
Thank you.
All right. Yes, Justice Susan.
A question as far as the sick leave and so forth, does this require or does not require existing employees to use their existing sick days? Is this separate from their existing sick days?
Under our ordinance, employees did not have to use annual leave or sick leave. They use what we call special leave, COVID leave. And that's what, yes.
And mentioning that, Judge, is the COVID money that we received, pay that?
That's how we got the money.
Okay.
And we had this ordinance in place, and that's how we qualified for the money.
So it's subsidized through COVID, not through County General?
It was CARES Act money, yes.
Right.
CARES Act. Yes, thank you. Other discussion on the ordinance 20-09 extension.
Could I ask a question? Is there a reason why we're going 90 days? Could we not do this every 30 days?
As far as I'm concerned, we can do it one day at a time. It helps employees if we have this in place. But 10 days, 1 month, whatever. It's up to the board to decide that going forward.
I'd like to know what other justices think about doing it, month to month as our meetings occur.
Judge, if I might.
Yes, see.
I this came out of personnel. I think it's a great deal that we did, and I'm grateful that our employees did not have to use their own personal leave. But if the governor does not have the ability, and to Councilor Murphy's point, the legislature, from appearances, do not look like they're going to work with him as of today on extending that, does this put us at any kind of odds, I guess? That's not the right word, but would we be doing something wrong if the state does not do this? Can the county do it if the state does not?
I'm going to ask Phil to chime in, but the county is a separate body from the state.
So to answer your question, Justice Good, the county can do this without a governor's emergency order. It's still a public health issue, so that means it falls under one of the provisions allowable through emergency ordinance and one of the provisions that the quorum court can decide. So from that standpoint, it's fine. The other problem that we haven't really discussed and no one really has an answer to right now is from the federal level, that it's possible that the Congress could amend the CARES Act to carry over into 2021. That amendment may include FMLA requirement that employers grant certain COVID protections and COVID leave, but as of a few hours ago, that has not passed. And so I don't think any of us can really know for certain what is going to happen from a federal standpoint. But even if the federal government does not pass the CARES Act, that doesn't prevent this quorum court from passing its own COVID protection.
Steve, one point of clarification. Right now we have four offices that are locked down. And it's getting worse. This thing worked great all year, but we've got 845 cases in the county as of Tuesday.
901 as of today, Judge.
901. It's running rapid and all that. And I feel like we need to take every precaution we can to try to at least keep our employees safe. And you made a good comment. We didn't have to go into annual leave and sick leave. And all we call it special leave, and the county got reimbursed
for that leave. In other words, we were able to file when it was qualified under the CARES Act, and we filed and showed the leave amounts. Follow up with you, Steve. Do you have any other comment on that?
No, sir. I think this is something that we need to do. I would support this.
I have a motion on the floor and a second for approval. Other discussion? Hearing none, Madam Secretary, will you call the roll?
Yes, Your Honor. Barrett.
Yes.
Boyer.
Yes.
Cates.
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Higgins.
Yes.
Houston.
Yes.
Kendricks.
Yes.
Lahosky.
Yes.
Knight.
Yes.
Pearson.
Yes.
Pickett.
Yes.
Rowland.
Yes.
Shock.
Yes.
Thank you, everybody, on behalf of the employees of Faulkner County. Thank you, Justice, for that vote. And we've gone through our two items. I appreciate all of you comments and all that came in. I really do. I hope all of you have a Merry Christmas with your families, but don't let your guard down. I hadn't heard the figure, Steve, that you quoted, 901, but I know it's running. Anybody have an announcement?
Judge, I do.
Okay.
I want to send my sincere appreciation to the other justices that are leaving the court. Steve Good, Justice Barrett, and who else is there that's leaving the court this year?
Jim Houston. Yes.
And Zach Cates. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Y'all did a great job.
Yeah, I second that. Thank you.
Since you brought that up, Justice Houston, I have a plaque for you. But it's not in that order. Stand up, I'm going to hand you a plaque. Folks, we have plaques for the four justices and all, and I'll have them in my office and all, and I have your name tag, the wooden name tag, and I think you ought to take that with you too. But we certainly appreciate the service of the people, but the one present is Jim Houston. And for years of dedicated service to justice from 2016 to 2020. And I want to present you this plaque.
Thank you, Judge. Thank you.
There's no big entourage with you or me, the one that thank you. Folks, again, please, they'll be in the office. And I appreciate you coming by and getting them right there at the office. Call me, I'll meet you or whatever. Don't make no difference. Yes, Jim.
Judge. Can we impose upon you to be sworn in on New Year's Day?
I will swear folks in on 8 o'clock on New Year's Day morning, yes.
In your office. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thanks,
everyone. I've enjoyed it.
Foster was trying to speak.
Judge, can I interject one thing?